If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and/or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm really glad you're here today because this is one of those conversations that has the potential to quietly but completely shift how you see your outdoor classroom. Not by adding something new, but by noticing something that's already there. So today, we're talking about play personalities and how understanding the way children naturally engage in the world can become your most powerful on-ramp to learning. Because here's the truth. Before a child ever engages in your lesson, your materials, or your carefully planned activity, they enter your space as themselves. And the question is, does your space and your outdoor space recognize them? So let's say that again. So the children are entering your space, your outdoor classroom space, as themselves. So what we need to ask ourselves as educators is, does your outdoor classroom space recognize the children and your students? So let's get into it. Think about the last time you were outside with children. It might have been yesterday, it might have been this afternoon, it might have been whatever it was. I really want you to picture it. So some children were probably moving constantly. Some were building something. Some might be quietly watching, and some were deep in imagination, and some were collecting little treasures. Same space, same time, but completely different experiences. And this is what I love about play personalities. And often we interpret this as engagement versus disengagement. Participation versus distraction. But what if that's not what's happening at all? What if what we're actually seeing are different play personalities at work? Not labels, not categories we put children into, but patterns. I love looking for patterns. Ways of children entering the world. Ways of making meaning. And when we begin to see children this way, something shifts. We stop asking, as educators, why isn't this child doing this activity? And we start asking, how is this child trying to engage? That question opens up this beautiful door. So let's bring this to life. I'm going to walk through a few play personalities you might recognize. And as you listen, I want you to picture not only yourself and what type of play personality might be yours, but I also want you to picture real children in your space. So you might want to listen to this podcast twice. You might want to go through it and think about first yourself and your own play personalities, whether it was a play personality as a young child, or just even as an adult, what your play personality is now. And then I want you to listen again and think about each child in your care or in your outdoor classroom and what might be their play personalities. Okay? So first, we have the builder. This is the child who is always moving materials, stacking, arranging, rearranging. They're not just playing, they're designing. And what they need is not more instruction. They need materials that respond to them. Logs, planks, stones, things that change as they change. I do have a builder in the Secret Gardens Outdoor Classroom, our nature class. And it was so interesting because we usually start with an art project or something that we do all together as a group. But he sort of quickly did that because he had something that he wanted to build. And he knew exactly what that was. And he went right over to our loose parts area and he just started to build this one kind of building on top of a log. And that led to, it sort of extended itself into a much larger thing. And then all of a sudden, there were other children that were very curious about what he was doing and started adding on to this incredible building that sort of extended itself. And what made it so special was he was the original builder, but the curiosity of the other children joined in with him. So that's the builder. The next is the explorer. This child is always on the move, drawn to edges, the paths, the hidden corners. They're not wandering, they're investigating. They need a space that says there's more to discover here. There's more to discover here. So the explorer might be a child, which again, we had in the Secret Gardens Outdoor Classroom, who loved bugs, absolutely. After he came to a class, every single log was rolled over, every single rock was rolled over. He was so fascinated by what was the habitats that were under the logs, and he knew the names of every single bug, and he was absolutely fascinated. So yes, that would be an example of the explorer, just a need to wander, to need to investigate, the need to discover. So then we have the storyteller. This child sees possibility everywhere. A stick becomes a wand, a log becomes a ship, a patch of dirt becomes the whole world. They need space that isn't overdefined, because the imagination needs room to breathe. I often see this both in a little bit in the mud kitchen, but also where we have a boat in our Secret Gardens Outdoor Classroom where, yeah, it's so much fun to watch kids in that space because they start making up these incredible stories. At one point, I even would bring the journals into the boat so they could capture their stories. They could actually write them down. Another place where I would see it is we have a miniature garden in a wheelbarrow, in an old, old wheelbarrow that I found on the side of the road. And kids would create stories, moving things around. I would put plants in there and little miniature things. And oftentimes I would, again, bring those journals there, so they had the option to write their stories down. So exciting and to really think about things that you can add to enhance that play. So now we have the collector. You know this child. The pockets are full, the hands are full, the treasures are everywhere, rocks, leaves, acorns, feathers. They're not just gathering, they're sorting, they're comparing. They're noticing patterns. So they need places to hold and honor what they find. I have one little girl in my parent-child class, and she loves pockets, absolutely loves pockets. And so she would always be picking things up along the way in her journey at the Secret Gardens. And I remember her parents saying, don't worry, we'll unload her pockets. And I was like, no. She is a collector. She's a collector that it feels good to kind of pick up these things along the way. So the next one is the risk taker, climbing higher, testing limits, drawn to that challenge. And here's the important part. They're not being reckless. They're learning where they end and where the world begins. They need opportunities for graduated risk, not no risk. Like, not, we don't want to be in a space where we're saying no. We want to give them the space, but we do not want to be in overwhelming risk. So thinking about what that may look like in your outdoor space, it's going to be different for all different ages and stages of children, and so different here again at the outdoor classrooms. And finally, the observer, the child who watches, who stands just outside the action, who takes it all in before stepping forward. But often, they can be misunderstood. But they're deeply, deeply engaged. And this sometimes happens when a new child comes into the group and they are kind of shy at first. And before you know it, they're all warmed up and they're participating. But for other children, it might take a little bit longer. So this child needs spaces where being in the edges is not seen as not participating, but it's a valid way of entering. I had a little girl even today that was brand new to the group, and her mother was actually saying, oh, she was amazed by how quickly she warmed up. Usually it takes her a little bit longer. She's on the outskirts. And she was really looking at me, and I could see eventually she, on her very first day, really began to jump in, and I could really see her personality. So here's what's important with this. Every outdoor space has all the children in it. And the question is, does your design of your outdoor classroom make room for each of the children and their play personalities? So let's talk about where this really changes things. Most outdoor classrooms are designed around activities. And we think, where's the science area? Where is the art space? Where will this lesson happen? But children don't enter the space asking, where's the activity I'm supposed to do? They are often, without words, thinking, where do I fit here? And if you don't find an answer, they disengage, or they act out, or they say, I'm bored, or they hover the edges. Not because they aren't capable, but because the space didn't meet them. The space didn't meet them. And that's where we, as the designers of these incredible outdoor spaces, can really get creative and try new things each time a group comes to us. When we design for playful personalities instead, something powerful happens. The builder finds materials. The observer finds safety. The explorer finds movement. The storyteller finds possibility. And suddenly, you don't have to pull children into learning. They're already in it. They're already in it. And I love it when this clicks. This clicks with the adults, it clicks with the children, and the space that they're in. It's super exciting. As we are talking and as we are going through these play personalities, I continue to want to remind you about thinking about what your play personality is. And if you're teaching in your own play personality and making sure that you're open to all these other play personalities of the children. So let's talk a little bit about on-ramps to learning. This is where it connects directly to teaching. every play personality is an on-ramp to learning. So instead of starting with, today we're learning about habitats, you start with the child. You notice the builder stacking logs, and you introduce how do animals build their homes. A collector is sorting leaves, and you explore. What patterns do you notice? A storyteller creating a world. Then you ask, who lives here? Same concept, different entry points. This is what makes learning feel natural. Because it is. It's natural. Let me share a moment with you. I was outside with a group of children, and they became completely absorbed in turning over logs. Like I said, they were looking for insects. At first glance, looked like one activity. But when I slowed down and really watched, I saw everything. One child carefully lifted each log and gently placed it back. Another was collecting bugs in a container. They even went to the mud kitchen to get the container to bring it back to the bug hotel. Another started stacking logs nearby and building something. And the best part is they're all talking to each other why this is happening. And another began telling a story about a beetle family who lived underneath the log. Same space, same moment, four completely different ways of engaging. And instead of redirecting them into one shared activity, I supported each pathway. We created a simple log hotel, like I noted. I added magnifying glasses. We talked about how to care for the insects. And what unfolded was not just play. It was science. It was storytelling. It was empathy. It was collaboration. For me, it was magic. And it's kind of these moments when they happen, they don't necessarily happen all the time, but when they do, there's a magic that happens. And that's, I think, why I do what I do, to capture these moments. And because this space and my response made room for multiple ways of being. So the children could come in the space instead of me saying, okay, we're going to learn about habitats today. They were able to be in a space, and I was able to ask inquiry questions, and I think the learning became that much richer. So thinking about design takeaways. So what does this mean for your space? Start simple. Look at your outdoor classroom and ask, where would a builder go? Where would an observer feel comfortable? Where could imagination take hold? And loose parts before adding fixed structures. Add those. Create zones instead of stations. Add those. And maybe most importantly, resist the urge to over-design. Because the more defined a space is, the fewer ways children can enter it. I almost feel like it's a case of children love to play with the box rather than what's inside the box, the toy, the whatever it is. And when I always think of this, I think of like a big refrigerator box and all the different things that children can make from boxes. We all get these boxes, right? And what can we do with those boxes and really teach children about recycling and so on and so forth. But that's just a natural inclination, is because it's not defined into anything, that this allows their imagination to run wild. So much so that there's kids out there and books that have been written about box cities and so on and so forth. So all that can fit into your outdoor space and your outdoor classroom, because it brings that conversation about recycling and reusing and That's all connected to the outdoor classroom experience. So in closing, I want to leave you with this. Children don't need us to create engagement. They arrive with it. So what they need is a space that recognizes it, a space that says, you can build here, you can imagine here, you can explore here, and you can watch here. You belong here. So the next time you step outside, take a moment, look at your space through the eyes of different children, and ask, who is being invited in? And who might still be waiting on the edge? I also want you to take a step back and ask yourself, what type of play personality do I have? Did I have a different play personality as a child? Do I have a play personality now? Am I teaching in my play personality? So think about that and see how that impacts. I would love to hear more about your own play personalities, how this resonated with you. Share in the comments, write a review. Thank you again for being here today, and I'll see you next time.
Before you go, I want to share an invitation. If you are an educator who knows outdoor learning matters, but you want more structure, confidence, and support, the Outdoor Teaching Bootcamp might be exactly what you need right now. This is a 5-week online foundations course and is the first step in our Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. Each week, we focus on one of the 5 phases of teaching outdoors, helping you build a strong, sustainable rhythm for your outdoor classroom. You'll get pre-recorded lessons inside a private portal that you can move through at your own pace, along with 5 weekly live Zoom sessions where we come together to reflect, ask questions, and connect with other educators from all over the country doing this work. If you're curious whether the bootcamp is the right fit for you, I'd love to talk to you. You can schedule a one-on-one discovery call with me, Victoria, and we'll think through it together. Head on over to our website to learn more, or we'll have the link in the show notes as well, and see when the next Outdoor Teaching Bootcamp cohort is opening. Thanks for listening and for the work that you're doing to bring learning back into the relationship with nature. So P.S., if you are a Circle member and you are interested in taking the Outdoor Teaching Bootcamp, you get $100 off the price. So there are huge discounts for joining our Circle membership community. So again, if you have any questions about this, schedule that one-on-one call with me, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Talk to you soon. Bye.